Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Miodanik, for reaching out to me and enabling to be a part of this this great program. This is wonderful. It's a great thing. You should be zoiche in spreading a lot of Torah today, raising a lot of funds today, and all good things in Gashmius and Ruchnius on Rosh Chodesh. Also, thank you to Rob Harberger and to Reb David Becker and for all those on the Learnathon committee. You know, everyone knows that these events don't happen by themselves. There's always a lot of background, but shkoyach to you for enabling this and for your efforts in making this possible. Do I have the ability to share a screen? Is that an option?
Yeah, you should be able to.
Okay, so let me... Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, there we go. You guys can see my doc?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. So, there's a tradition from the Koznetzer Magid that every year on Parshas HaChodesh, which we read yesterday, he would tell three stories. And the deeper meaning behind telling these three stories was to bring bracha and shefa into the lives of the Jewish people. So the first story that the Koznetzer Magid would tell was about a Jew who was trying to make some money before Pesach, and he had a big barrel of schnapps. The only problem was the schnapps was illegal. So the border guards, they confiscated it from him, and he was left without his source of income. So he came to the Rebbe of Melech, Lezhensk, the Noam Elimelech, and he said to him, he told him the whole story. So Rebbe told him, go back and tell the guard to take a taste from the barrel. So faithful chassid goes back and asks the guard, you know, take a sip, see what's in there. So he drinks it, and it's water. He goes, oh, okay, we made a mistake, and he gives him back the barrel. So now he's got, the Yid has his whole bottle, his big barrel, and he goes back to the Rebbe and says, what am I going to do? I was supposed to sell the schnapps. I was going to make parnassus. I could afford the, you know, yom tov expenses. He goes, no. He tells his chassid, you take a sip of it now. So he does, and it went back to being schnapps, and he was able to make parnassus from this. That was the first story the Koznetzer Magid would share. The second story he would share on Parshas HaChodesh, again, it's my team today's Rosh Chodesh, was of a king who lost a very valuable ring. And the king was desperate to find it, so he offered money to pay anybody who would accept upon themselves the responsibility to look for his ring. So there was a Yid who had no money for Pesach, and his wife says to him, I have an Eitzah. Go tell the king that you want to sign up to look for his lost ring, and he'll give you money. We can use the money for to cover our Yom Tov expenses. So, like a good Jew, he listens to his wife. He does it, he gets the money, And he goes home and he starts preparing for Pesach. Now, in this particular community, it doesn't say where it was in the story, but there was a galach, and this is a very big anti-Semite. And he went and he saw on the Yom Tov of Pesach that he was sitting there with a, you know, large spread at the table. He says, "Oh, I'm gonna go inform upon him. I'm gonna tell the king. Look what he did. He took your money, and he is he's not being diligent. He's not following through on his end of the deal." So the galach goes, gets the king. So the king and him go to this Jew's house on the night of Pesach, and the king stands outside listening over what's gonna happen. And this Jew's minhag was that he would read. They were up to Dayenu. So he would say one line of the Haggadah, and everyone around him would answer Dayenu. He would say the next line of Haggadah, and everyone would say Dayenu. Again, over and over again. Everyone keeps answering Dayenu. So the king thinks to himself, he doesn't understand Hebrew, but it must be that he's doing a whole investigation to find out who is the thief, who hasn't. Everyone's telling him, it's Dayenu. Now the name of this galach was Dayeni. So he thought they're answering the same names. Every time they heard Dayenu, he thought that was a hint that really the one who stole it was the galach. So he puts him in jail. And he pressures him. And this galach confesses that he was the thief. He was the one who stole the ring. And the third and final story that the Magid of the Koznetz would relate on Parshas HaChodesh was about a poritz who had a Jew who worked for him. And basically that was his entire source of income. And the poritz says to this Jew, look, I supply you with everything. The Jew says, no, you don't. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. All of my money, everything I have in my life, my physical, that needs to come. The parts got very upset. He says, oh, yeah? I'm going to show you. And he fires him and he sends him home a few days before Yom Tov without anything. He says, we'll see who provides for you, whether it's me or Hashem. Now, the story says this parts had a treasure chamber and filled with golden coins. And the way that he used to go in and clean his coins, he would like lick them, and the spit in his mouth would be used. I don't know the chemistry behind it, but apparently that's a good cleaning agent. And so he used to put the coins. And the parts had a monkey. Now the monkey, You know, monkey see, monkey do. The monkey saw what the Poritz was doing and putting these coins, and he thought that the Poritz was eating the coins. So this monkey starts taking all these gold coins, and he's eating them. And, you know, I guess that's not a good diet for a monkey. The monkey drops dead. So the Poritz has this dead monkey over there. It smells. Says, go take this carcass and go throw it at that Jew's house. So the Jew gets the dead monkey on his thing, but its belly opened up and exploded. All of a sudden, all these gold coins came pouring out. Says, oh, Ne'es Hashem Haisa Zois. He takes the coins and he goes and he buys all his Yom Tov expenses and he has a beautiful Seuda ready for Yom Tov. So on the Leil HaSeder, this Poritz comes to the house of the Jew and he wants to see him sitting there in abject poverty. He has nothing to eat and nothing to drink. And instead he sees a whole Seuda with the meats and the wines and everything. He says, what has happened? He tells him the whole story about the monkey. So the Poritz says, you're right. I'm not the one who sends you your Parnassa. Everything comes from Hashem. So obviously there's a tremendous depth behind these stories with the schnapps and with the dayenu and with the monkey. But whatever reason it was, the Kozer Magid used to share these stories. There should only be bracha and shefa to the Klal Yisrael during the Chodesh Nisan, the time of our Geula. I'd like to share a thought that I heard from Rav Aaron Lopiansky. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Greater Washington. Many of you perhaps have heard him speak. He's been to the community. He spoke at an RJJ dinner several years ago. He's one of the experts in Maharal, and he has a lot of beautiful sfarim in English. But let's jump into it in time. He started off with the Gemara in Pesachim, which says the following. It seems like it's overly simplified. I'm not sure, but I think we're going to get to this in the Daf Yomi very soon. I think we're within a week of this Daf. Rabbi Mildanik will correct me if I'm wrong. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachman Ledoru Avdei. Rav Nachman said to his servant, whose name was Doru, if you had a slave and he was freed, he was given kesef and zav, gold and silver, what would the Eved say to such a master for freeing him and giving him all these expensive items? You'd have to give him thanks and to praise him. You just exempted us from the entire manishtana. It sounds like the most oversimplified version of Pesach possible. That's it. We're done. Okay. But it's really not so simple. It's not so simple. There are many places where the Gemara darshins a pasuk in the Chumash where it says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, that the Jewish people are to be my servants. If you look here in the source number 2, the Gemara of Bava Metzia, Dav Yud Amun Aleph, takes this phrase, you're my avadim, velo avadim li avadim, that you're going to be my servants, but you're not going to be an avid servant to a servant. You know, it's actually the Rav Oshri, so it's all from his Shilas and Shuvas Mimamakim. Questions were asked during World War II. They asked him, can we still make the bracha shelo asani avid? And he paskened, yes, you could. But try to understand, what does this mean? You know, we were taken out of being slaves in order to be slaves to Hashem. But no, I mean, let's figure this out. We were just taken from one master to a different master, right? What would you say in the following case? Let's revisit Reb Nachman. What would you say if you were taken out to be, you're stopping Eved from this person, and now you're giving an Eved, you just work for somebody else? Who cares? There's no difference. Imagine you're a receptionist in office. You have a job, you do it. So the company's bought up. The big CEO buys you out. Your job still stays the same. Same work hours, same responsibilities, same health benefits. It's no big deal. You just got a new master. So good. Shkoyach. We were taken out of Mitzrayim, but now we're avodim to Hashem. We're supposed to be avodim to avodim. But it makes no difference. Your job doesn't change. You know, who cares what cotton field you're working in? You're still a slave. So let's ask one more point as well. Gemara in Kiddushin, Chav Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hayadoresh es Hamikra Hazeh Kimin Choymer. He used to explain this like a beautiful, precious stone. Manishtan Ozen Mikolei Varam Shebeguf. Why is the ear different? Now we're talking about an Eved Ivri who wants to remain a slave. So we know the halacha is that the ear gets pierced by a doorway. So why the ear? So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ozen Sheshama Koli, Al Har Sinai, the ear which heard my voice at Har Sinai, Beshah Shamarti, when I said, Kili V'nei Yisrael Avadim, that you're going to be my servants, V'lo Avadim Lo Avadim, and not an Eved to anybody else, Halach Zeh V'kona Adon La'atzmo, he went ahead and took himself on another master? Yiratze, his ear, let his ear be pierced. Then it continues in saying that it's done by the doorpost, because the door was the doors and the mezuzah, the lintel was the edus, the witnesses that the Korban Pesach and Makas Becharos, that what we did. So that's why this person did it. But it's technically not correct. Let me just, I don't know if I can highlight it here. Look at this line right here. Ozen Sheshamas, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, Kiliv Bnei Yisrael Avadim. Right? Your ear heard this. Your ear heard this on Har Sinai, and it says, Kiliv Bnei Yisrael Avadim. But we didn't hear this. We didn't hear that. We all know what we heard in Har Sinai was, Anoch Hashem Lokecha, Lo Yelecha. We heard the first of the two out of the Ten Commandments. We didn't hear, Kiliv Bnei Yisrael Avadim. So why, when it says, oh, the Evid should have his ear pierced, that that's because we heard this. We didn't hear it. We didn't hear it. So I'd like to work out what this idea of avdus, of slavery, is really all about. You know, a person could work long hours under very difficult conditions, but many of us do this. Many of us work long, hard hours. You know, I'll give you an example. People sometimes are working for a company, and they have their set 9 to 5 schedule. And yet, even though they're working for somebody else 9 to 5, they would prefer to go out on their own. They'll work longer hours, much more stress, much more anxiety, much more, agmas nefesh, but they're willing to do that. They're working to work much harder, much longer hours, and maybe not even for more pay. But what's the motivating factor behind this? What would force a person into doing such a thing to go out on their own? So perhaps the reason why someone would do such a thing is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us, into our core essence of self, we have to feel ourselves. And just like a physical survival is the most important thing for a person, that sense of self is me. It's the core of a person. A person will do anything to realize that I'm working and I'm creating something, I'm building up myself. The moment when I feel like I'm doing something for somebody else, I become broken. Right? Well, I'm not using my own abilities. I'm doing this on behalf of somebody else. That is the ultimate expression of slavery. That's it. I feel like I'm not myself. When I do this, when I have zero ability to work for myself and to build up myself, I become destroyed. Every day I'm working, it's worse and worse. I'm eating, my body's surviving, but in my soul, my sense of self becomes entirely annihilated. And that's what slavery is. We understand what it really means to be an Eved. That's why it's so difficult. When you're on your own, when you're working for yourself, a person can start to begin and have a sense of freedom. You know, it's your farm. It's your company. You plant how you want. It's done your way. And that person feels a sense of ownership of that. That's really what it means being a slave versus being free. Working for somebody else, all my kohos and everything I have is going towards out. It's not staying with me. Versus freedom is when what I'm working on is building myself up. And when a person reflects, what's important? What do I really want in life? So there's always some conflict. You know, on the one hand, I want to just, as the kids say, chill. I want to relax, take it easy, hang out. But on the other hand, I have aspirations, whether they are in the professional world, whether the personal things I want to accomplish, whether it's a health thing about exercising, whether it's a ruchnias about learning a daf yomi. I have goals. I have things that I really want to do it. But what has the real lasting power? You know, what's the main thing we defining who we are and what we are? What really defines the essence of us, and what's something that's more peripheral? Not really, you know, my self-definition. So the way to figure this out is what's continuous. What really lasts and what's with me all the time. If I have a desire to go get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, I'll give a plug for Dunkin' Donuts here in town. I want to get a cup of coffee. Okay, that's nice, but that's not the essence of who I am. I'm not a coffee drinker. Well, I happen to be a coffee drinker, but you know, I don't define myself as being a coffee drinker. I want to get fries. I want to get a slice of pizza. These are things that I want to lie down. I want to rest. These are all true, but that's not the essence of who I am. Imagine a young man or woman who has a goal. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a high school Rebbe. These are my career aspirations in life, and I want that. So that's with me continuously. It's not something that, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's something that I constantly am focused on and I'm driven by, and that's really crucial. When a person wants to recognize the sense of self, who they are, and not being, swept up by the moment, that's a struggle to figure out who is me? What's my essence of who I am? And what's not so much a part of who I am? You know, as Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson gave a beautiful lecture series on Tanya called A Tale of Two Souls. And he elaborates upon the themes in the Tanya, whereas we have a conflict between our nefesh elokis, our godly soul, and our nefesh ha-bahamis, our animal soul. The nefesh elokis, the godly soul, is transcendent. It wants to become bigger. It wants to connect. The nefesh ha-bahamis is ego, dividing, selfish, instantaneous gratification, all these types of things. That's the animal soul. But I have a conflict between those. But I'm able to think bigger and to look bigger and to touch into who I really am, my godly soul, not my animal soul. I'm willing to make sacrifices for something when I realize that it's bigger who I am. You know, imagine a kid who wants to be a professional basketball player. So he'll spend hours and hours in the hot sun getting yelled at by a coach, and he's willing to do it. Why? Why all the laps? I think they're called the suicide or the runs back and forth. Why all these drills, all the things? Because deep down, this is what I want to do, and I know this is a necessary step, is how I'm going to get to it. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice because I have that drive. I have that thing inside of me that's pushing me because this is my goal, and this is who I define myself, and I'm willing to work towards that. So today's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And in this time period of Nisan, it's a period of birth. It's a period of renewal, and it's also a period of introspection to find out who I am, what I am, what's important to me, and how do I define myself. And these self-definitions take place at different points throughout our lives. You know, a little child has no sense of identity outside of themselves. They just don't, right? Let me scroll down a little bit to my next source, is the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. The Chumash writes, Al kein yazov ish es aviv ve'es imo v'davak be'ishto v'hai l'vosar echon. That a person will forsake their parents. They leave them. Means you find yourself. You'll have a wife. You'll attach yourself. V'hai l'vosar echon. So Rashi HaKadosh tells us on the Pasuk, Vosar echon means when a man and a woman have a child. Because that little baby, the boy or girl, is Vosar echon. Is from a little bit from the mom, a little bit from the dad. And now that's one, that's new flesh. It's a new living being. The Ramban takes Rashi to task. The Ramban says, what do you mean? That's what it means? Right? Yeah, because the two people had relations and reproduced. Animals reproduce. A behema reproduces. What's the kunz over here? So says the Ramban, no. What does it mean, v'hai l'boser echad? Explains the Ramban, a beautiful vort. It means companionship. That when a husband and wife come together, that they have a new sense of identity, that they connect to each other. And animals, I think the dove is like is the exception to this. But an animal, so they mate with this one, they mate with that one, next week's a different one. But a baser echad means that a husband and wife come together and have a sense of unity. And when a person's defining themselves, right, the most important part of the puzzle, we have, you know, at a younger age, is that natural stage of rebellion. That it's healthy as part of adolescence. And a person, a young man or woman, is trying to find themselves. But we have to try to work out, what is the inner sense of who I am? What defines me? So in Hebrew, we have different words for wanting something. There's a chefetz, and there's also the word ratzon. There are other words as well, but Rabbi Lopiansky developed the idea that the chefetz is something that's physical, something it's ad hoc, it's temporary, but a ratzon is pnimius. It's spiritual, it's who I really am, right? And we use different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, we talk about Elohim. There are seven different names of Hashem that are not erased. There's one name of Hashem which has Kedusha, and it overlaps with us. Source number five, what we heard at Har Sinai, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeisich, Eretz Mitzrayim, Mibes Avodim. I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim, out of this place of Avodim, out of a house of bondage. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This word Anochi, it's the most panemiistic name there is. It doesn't have Kedusha, the Sfar HaKadosh, it transcends Kedusha. The Anochi, it overlaps inside of us. There's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists inside of us, and that's what it means. It has, that's the essence of who I am. The essence of who I am is connected to that Anochi. When the Torah says I, it means the deeper piece of you is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the famous words of the Tanya, chapter 2, he says right here that the Jewish soul is a chelek eloka mima'al mamish. It's a piece of Hashem, literally. Literally, we have a piece of Hashem inside of us. And where do we get that? That came to us from Anochi HaLashem. That I, when I define myself, that I'm defining myself in terms of my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every single person's Anochi, the inside of who we are, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So when we're setting up our priorities, who am I? What does it mean? If I don't set this up correctly, if I don't align myself with the true sense of who I am, I'll be miserable. I will never be happy in life because I'm trying to connect to something that's not the real who I am. A person works all their life for something that's not who they are, be'etzim, they're going to regret it. There's a Dr. Leibowitz, who I think was Eish HaKodesh, or Eish HaTorah, I'm sorry, Eish HaTorah. And he is a big doctor in Lakewood. And he related a story to Rabbi Lopiansky about a turning point. He was an intern. He was with a man who was towards the end of his life. He was dying. And his two sons were there in the room with him. And in front of the father, the two sons are arguing about who's going to get the car. Who gets the car? The father's there, and they're arguing back and forth. Then they left. And then the man turned to Dr. Leibowitz and said, I think my entire life has been one big mistake. We want to prevent that. We want to prevent living a life that's a mistake. And the only way we can do is when we have our priorities correctly aligned and we understand that piece of Hashem inside of us is the essence of who we truly are. You know, we talk about things in life that are, the Torah says, this is mutter and this is aser. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us these surim? Why do we have things that are literally off limits, prohibited to us? These surim are not there to make our lives difficult. They're there to make our lives efficient. Where should I not waste my energy? Avoid this because it's not going to be productive. And now let's come back for a second. We talked about Hashem as our parent, and that Anochi, to become the person we want to be, what did he say? Ozen Sheshama al Har Sinai, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, Kili v'nei Yisrael Avadim. We heard Anochi. But in that Anochi, what did we really hear? That we're Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful idea. That's the depth of Anochi. Who am I really? I am an Eved Hashem, as we said this morning in Hallel. Pitach al Moisirai, ki ani atach, I'm your Eved. Open it up, open the shackles off me. I'm an Eved, this is how I truly become free. When I'm mishabed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how my true freedom comes out. Zman Cheruseinu. What does it mean to be free? We're preparing. It's about understanding who I really am, who I need to be. We believe that we're a Chelik Elokah, we're a piece of Hashem. And that's what the ear heard. That neshama of a person is what sets us up. Gives a new understanding of Pesach. Pesach, this Zman Chusein, which Baruch Hashem, Chodesh Nisan, we're entering into. It's the key to becoming ourselves, to defining ourselves, this internal actions of working and cleaning. It's a process. Now it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Your God. There are many Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. To connect that piece of who I am inside of me, that Elokei Avram, maybe connecting to who I am is within the world of Avram, of Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibonen. Maybe that's how I connect to the true sense of myself. Maybe that's how I express my neshama. Maybe it's Elokei Yitzchak. Yitzchak is a vode, is davening, is negunim, it's his bodidus, it's tefillah, it's tehillim. Maybe that's the way that I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of who I am. Or maybe it's Elokei Yaakov. Maybe I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for learning his Torah. Chumash, Navi, Ksuvim, Daf Yomi, Hashkafa, Halacha. Maybe that's the way that I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the one thing that's central is the Anochi. In the process of going through the things, we harden ourselves to make us who we're supposed to be in a special time of our lives. I was talking to my Talmidim last week. I was trying to express to them this idea, but having the neshama inside is the most priceless thing. So I said to them, you know, there's the Hope Diamond. The Hope Diamond, they say, is like the most valuable diamond there is. Imagine you had something like the Hope Diamond inside of you. So they said, you mean like Lil Uzi Vert? I said, who? So they shared with me something, and Rabbi Yisai, I'm a little bit nervous, because I have holy sources on the source sheet. You have to be moichel me. Lahavdil ben kodesh lachol. I want to share with you a picture of someone who is Gor Meshuga. If you can see my screen, this man, this rapper, put a $24 million diamond engraved in his head. That's a real picture. He has a diamond engraved in his head. I can't think of something more pathetic. then someone who doesn't have a true sense of self-worth, doesn't understand what it means to be B'Tselem Elohim, they have to implant a $24 million diamond in their forehead. HaKadosh Baruch has given us an neshama. It's worth more than $24 million. But we got to polish the diamonds inside of us. We got to sparkle our neshamas. And just a clue, lehavdil. Again, I'm just going to delete this picture off my screen. Bye-bye. Okay, now we get to the holiness. The grandson of the Halig Baba Salih, Rav Shlomo Busu, Shlita. Words cannot possibly describe the implication and significance of what the Shekhinah dwelling in a person means. Besides the clarity, lucidity, understanding, memory, and achievement that will permeate his being, it's also the source of abundance of life, blessing, success, healing, children, sustenance, peace, joy, and so much more. Everything and anything. That's what it means to have our neshama inside of us. So now is the Zman of Pesach. Now we're in the zone of Chodesh Nisan. And by connecting to what's bigger than ourselves, connecting to the truer part of ourselves, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our neshama, we should be zoicha to use this time productively. And by that, we should zoicha to the Geula Shleima Bimhera Biyameinu. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate in this wonderful program. I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher Pesach. Thank you.
Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I hope you and your family have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Amen. V'chein Lamar.